Palestinians have been wounded this 1 month. But none of this, none of it seems to matter to regimes around the world as the green light for the Holocaust continues to be given to the racist Israeli regime. However, globally, people are flexing their muscles against their Western regimes and beyond. The true face of the Israeli regime is being revealed as the entity's leaders call for nuking Gaza and say that Palestinians are not human, even justifying genocide. A new world order is on the horizon and the pendulum is swinging. I'd like to welcome my guests to this program. Elijah McNear, journalist and political analyst out of Brussels. And Yves Engler, author and political activist out of Montreal. So thank you both for being with me.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Let's start it off in Brussels. And Elijah, the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, has demanded an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Why do you think that it has taken him 31 days to demand this ceasefire?
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
It is not a question of taking him 31 days before tackling the problem that is happening and the war that is happening against the civilians in Gaza. It is because he doesn't have any power. I remember when he has confronted the Israeli ambassador, telling him that the problem didn't start on the 7th of October, but it started 50 years ago. And this is when Israel demanded his immediate resignation. It's because the United Nations is an institution powerless unless it fits with the objectives of the United States of America. When the Americans and the Israelis agree that this war should continue because Israel has failed to achieve any of its objectives, then the Americans acknowledge the fact that killing civilians is the topic of the Israeli army, and that the United Nations is impotent and has no power whatsoever to stop the war, particularly when we have 88 personnel of the United Nations that have been killed by the Israeli indiscriminate bombardment to Gaza, where the Israelis bombarded schools that belong to the United Nations, convoys, and is indiscriminately bombing the city, pushing for an ethnic cleansing and committing crime against humanity. The United Nations, unfortunately, it is not a body that can dictate the rules. It is not a body that has an army per se, unless by its members, and has very little to do because it is the will of the superpower, the United Nations of America, the United States of America, for this war to continue, and reject any call for a ceasefire, even by Russia, China, and 120 countries that at the United Nations General Meeting agreed on a ceasefire in Gaza, but okay. That fell on deaf ears.
Well, Yves, do you think this request for a ceasefire by the UN Secretary General, does it mean anything? Will it be adhered to by the Israeli regime, in your perspective?
I don't think it will be adhered to, but I do think it's better than not doing it. So I think that, and as you pointed out, it's outrageous that it's taken this long for Gutierrez to come out with this. And it's definitely, in my opinion, it reflects the fact that the U.S. and the principal NATO countries are so gung-ho in backing Israel. Now, Israel clearly doesn't. Israel is you know, slaughtering people with reckless abandon. The only thing realistically right now that's going to rein in the fanatics in Israel is the U.S. Empire and Washington finally saying, you know, stop the wholesale slaughter. Now, it does seem that the U.S. is happy to, you know, they want this to escalate. They seem like they're happy to, certainly the killing in Gaza, they're more than fine with. And possibly they're happy to even engage in something more broadly in the region. So we know where this all goes. We still don't know, but I think it's definitely good that the Secretary General has firmed up his language. It's outrageous it's taken this long, and it definitely does speak to a UN that is not reflective of international opinion, because people around the world, mass numbers coming out onto the streets.
What about that, Elijah? You heard what Eve said, that basically he feels that the United States is quite okay with what is taking place in Gaza. If you agree with that, what is it that the United States is gaining from this genocide that's taking place in Gaza that they are giving the green light to the Israeli regime?
Well, the Israelis are aiming to achieve some gains or some kind of victory that are failing to do so far after 4 weeks of the war. So the Americans are giving time for the Israeli. They're gaining time so the Israeli can achieve something or at least succeed in occupying the northern part of Gaza, where the main theater of operation is happening now. Unfortunately for the Israelis, that the Palestinian resistance is not ready to let go, is not ready to allow the Israeli tanks to move into Gaza and occupy it, and it's fighting it. It is fighting it in urban war that they have excelled in doing it so, is inflicting heavy damages on the Israeli tanks and military personnel, and is driving the Israeli crazy to the point that they're trying to flatten everything in the north of Gaza, Shujaia, Beit Hanun, and they're not managing to advance. On the contrary, yesterday they withdrew 1 kilometer of the 5-6 kilometers that where they have advanced. And we're talking about a tiny area that is between 5 to 6 miles wide and then around 26 miles long. And the operation is happening in the first part of it, not all of it. So if the Israelis just want to park their 1,400 tanks in Gaza, they can fill it up. However, we understand that the resistance is not allowing the Israelis to move in. And this is what the Americans cannot wait for very long to give the Israeli enough time, because the public opinion is turning against the massacre of the Israelis. There are images of children, more than 4,000 children have been killed, 2,200 women, and all that on TV, that the Americans can no longer hide it, cannot hide behind Israel has a right to defend itself, because Israel is in occupation. Therefore, there is a limit where they can abuse of their double standard and hypocrisy. And this limit, we understand, normally in all the Israelis' war, when the United Nations chief starts to talk about ceasefire, it means there is a very short time when the Americans are going to come up also with a demand, but not due to humanitarian reasons, but to save the Israelis from their trap, because okay. It is they're not achieving what they want to achieve.
Well, Eves, since Sunday night, last night, the Israeli regime admits that it has conducted 450 airstrikes on Gaza. This is just last night. What does this mean for a civilian area? And what does this mean to be taking place live on our screens?
Well, it means that the governments backing this in Canada, the U.S., are sociopaths. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing the political elite in Canada, the U.S., that are endorsing this just outrageous level of violence. And in fact, not even just endorsing it. If you were to pick up the papers in this country, you think that the Israelis are the victims. I think Israeli society, the culture has gotten extremely, extremely fascistic. Obviously, the Jewish supremacist fanatics who are in charge of the government have been made very clear that they want to drive out Palestinians. They want to steal as much land as possible. They probably won't stop with just the West Bank and Gaza. They probably want to go even further. That's always been an important strain of Zionism going back a century. The maximalist Zionists think it should be, you know, the Jewish state should be, you know, multiple times bigger than it currently is. So all of that is in the background. And they have this powerful military with the backing of the world's hegemon. And they're just... to just using, you know, the arms companies always like the fact that the bombs are being used, and Israel's doing a lot of that. It's absolutely stunning to sort of live through this this political culture in Canada, where all of the main politicians, they all are backing this, while the images of Palestinian babies being taken out from under the rubble. Anyone can see those in near virtual time. It really is a serious condemnation of the political culture in Canada, the U.S.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, Elijah, your thoughts on this, that could you have ever imagined that in 2023, 10,000 people could be slaughtered in the way that the Palestinians have been in Gaza, and nothing is done?
There are 101,000 Palestinians that have been killed since 1948. And nothing has been done. There is an Oslo agreement that the Americans thought that they pulled out, and they have reached a two-state solution, and nothing has been done. On the contrary, Benjamin Netanyahu went to the United Nations with a map showing only Israel without Gaza and the West Bank.
Right.
The objective of the Israelis is to wipe out all the Palestinians from Palestine. This is why nothing has been done, because they want to do it quietly, because they don't want the world to feed.
But this time around, it definitely hasn't been done quietly. That's my point. I mean, you know, we're looking at this live, real time. That's what makes it so absolutely amazing, that we're watching it in real time as these massacres, as this genocide is taking place.
Yes, they've done it quietly until Hamas came out and said enough is enough. We're not going to accept to be assassinated, killed, and displaced without saying anything. We're not going to accept to be humiliated. And you take away the last hope that we have to build a state in Palestine. So the United Nations resolutions of right of return were not acknowledged and respected. The two-state solution has been completely dismissed. And you have a far-right government that is starving the prisoners and putting them in jail administratively without any justice. For that, they pushed the Palestinians to a limit where they thought, well, we can do anything we want because we're not accountable, and the Americans are with us. This is why the 7th of October came out as a reaction to all the injustice that the Palestinians have suffered, rightly, as Guterres said. He was very modest by saying 50 years, but it's 75 years since the Nakba, since the 1948. So because of that, the Israelis still thinking they can get away with killing and wounding 37,000 in just 4 weeks and bomb Gaza with an equivalent of almost 2 nuclear bomb, because each one 15,000, they've used 25,000 tons of explosives so far, and still get away with it.
Yes. Well, Yves, I mean, as we see people around the world standing up to their governments, do you think that there has been an increase in awareness about the reality of the Israeli regime now? And where do you think this will go? What does it mean now on the ground in your perspective?
There's no doubt there has been a growth sort of awareness of just how vile Israel and Zionism is. There's no doubt about that. The protests here in Montreal, biggest pro-Palestinian demonstration in Canadian history, 50,000, over 50,000 on Saturday. And it was similar dynamics in most cities across the country, with more than 30 cities where they had protests, including way up far north, where there's lots of snow, there's an image of a couple dozen people protesting in Yellowknife. So there's no doubt that there's a growth in people being appalled at what Israel is doing. Where this goes, that's a little bit less clear. I think that the pro-Israel crowd has moved further and further to the right. They are becoming pretty openly racist at this point. They're calling for people to be deported from Canada for going to protest. They are saying that the reason there's these big protests is because there's basically too many non-white immigrants in the country. That is moving them further and further to the right of the political spectrum, whereas historically, in fact, lots of the left was very pro-Zionist. So that process has escalated rapidly in the recent weeks, a process that's been going on for years or decades even. But at the same time, let's be clear that the Israel lobby in this country is very powerful, continues to be very powerful. And obviously the U.S. empire shapes Canadian foreign policy, and within the Democratic Party, you're seeing similar dynamics in the U.S. where younger, generally darker-skinned people are critical of U.S. support. How far that goes in terms of really building a long-term political movement that will fundamentally reshape U.S.-Canadian support for Zionism, that's I think, a little bit less clear.
Mm. Well, Elijah, what do you think? Do you think that there we will look in history and see there was a prior to October 7th, how the world people looked at Zionism and the Zionist entity and how they reacted towards it, and then post October 7th, or now we're 1 month later. Do you see this as being a major point of transition?
I do. October the 7th has created something completely different. It has created a state of uncertainty among the occupier settlers. This is why Israel is in deep crisis today. And this is why the Israelis are bombing Gaza, because they want to achieve something. They have promised all the Jews all over the world to come to Israel, where they can offer them a land that is not theirs, taken from the Palestinian, give them security, give them home, any home that they want that can take it from the Palestinian. And on the 7th of October, the Palestinian resistance offered a place for the settlers in a tent, where there are 150,000 tents today in Eilat for all the settlers that used to live in occupied territory around the Gaza envelope and on the Lebanese borders. This is something that Israel has never seen before. Because of that, it blows up completely the idea of asking all the Jews around the world to come to Israel, where they have a security. The Israelis today in the society no longer trust the army, no longer trust the government. That is an earthquake that the Palestinian resistance, no matter how damaged is Gaza, no matter how many people were killed, at least the Palestinian cause returned to the surface, and the Israelis today are no longer safe in a territory that doesn't belong to them, because the people of the land, the owners of the land, are saying, we want it back, we want to live in dignity, otherwise you will not be safe here.
All right, and on that note, we're out of time. I appreciate both of you being with me. Elijah Magner, journalist and political analyst out of Brussels. Eve Zingler, author and political activist out of Montreal. And thank you for being with us on another Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing off for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the verses of chapter Nur, the 24th chapter of the Holy Quran, and different commentary points of these verses. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to the 40th verse of the chapter.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أو كظلمات في بحر لجي يغشاه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض إذا أخرج يده لم يكد يراها وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ
Or they are like darknesses within an unfathomable sea, which is covered by waves, upon which are waves, over which are clouds. Darknesses, some of them upon others. When one puts out his hand therein, he can hardly see it. And he to whom Allah has not granted light, for him there is no light.
So, as you were with us in the previous episodes, we mentioned that there are two similitudes brought forth for the deeds of the disbelievers. The first was mentioned in the 39th verse, which was a mirage which a thirsty human considers to be water, but when he gets closer to it, he sees that it is not. كَسَرَابٍ بِقِيعَةٍ يَحْسَبُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً And this is the second similitude. أو كظلمات في بحر لجي يغشاه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب. This is the utter darkness they live in. The darkness of a vast abysmal sea that is covered by waves above waves. And these waves are also covered by a cloud standing. Layers of darkness over the other. And in this situation, if you consider yourself in that situation, you do not see anything. In that full darkness at the depth of the sea, these darkness surrounds you. And in this situation, even if you try to see your hands, as the verse says, إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا When he holds out his hand, he can hardly see it. This is the situation the disbelievers are dealing with. In that situation, even the closest objects cannot be seen. Even if you put and hold your hand close to your eye, you cannot see it. This is the situation of disbelievers in that time.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran. by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Anyway, dear listeners, we conclude from these couple of verses that the deeds of the disbelievers are likened a false light that appears like mirage in a dry and hot desert. And not only does it not quench their thirst, but also their thirst increases because of running. Then, after this false light, it is time for another, which is the faithless hypocrites' deeds. There is the inward of these deeds, which is full of darkness and dense, horrible obscurity. That is why we said that each deed that a believer does is light, and each deed that a disbeliever brings forth is darkness. And instead of opening a way for them, the disbeliever's deeds mislead them more and more. That is why it will be called darkness upon darkness. ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. And this awful inward deranges all man's senses, and the closest objects will be invisible to him. Even he cannot see himself, even he cannot see his hand which is brought out. When he holds out his hand, إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا, he can hardly see it. He cannot see himself, he cannot see his organs, let alone the others. And it is obvious that in such a terrible darkness, man is totally lonely and ignorant. He can neither find the way, nor does he have any fellow traveler, nor does he know his status, and he does not know anywhere to run forth. This is the situation of the disbeliever. He has not enjoyed the source of light, that is Allah, and he has covered with the veil of ignorance and somehow conceit. And if you do not forget, we have said that light is the source of beauties. Light is the source of luminosity. Light is the source of life, movement, etc. But darkness, what is darkness? Darkness is what is called the source of ugliness, the source of death, mortality, and immobility. Darkness is the center of fear and faith. And this darkness is accompanied with depression. This is the status of those who are disbelievers that are mentioned in this holy verse. Their deeds are either like mirage that in the desert a thirsty one runs into, but after finding it not, he will be even more thirsty. Or, this 40th verse says, أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرٍ لُجِّي, or like the darkness in a very vast, abysmal sea. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. visit us at parstoday.ir/en. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pourreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Supporters of Palestine rallied in Seoul on Saturday as the Israeli regime's indiscriminate air and ground assault on Gaza rages on. Those from the region tried to put the current conflict into context.
Killings, displacement, and mass arrests in the West Bank are not new. While we are seeing an intensification in these kinds of attacks at the current moment, we know that this is a demonstration of life under the occupation.
South Koreans are getting the message as news of Israeli bombings of hospitals and schools, termed by many as war crimes, has traveled around the world.
Civilians are dying brutally. The U.S. and Israel have rejected UN-proposed humanitarian aid. It was a humanitarian truce to bring aid into Gaza, but the United States and Israel vetoed it.
Experts say social media has been critical in communicating the reality of events mass media reported with bias.
The media coverage is pretty asymmetrical. Especially here, it is very difficult to know the real voices from Palestinians. However, concerned citizens and civic organizations translate a lot of articles, so we were still able to make the voices heard.
As Palestinian supporters marched toward the Israeli embassy, police blocked their pre-approved route, apparently at the request of the Israeli embassy. Meanwhile, another rally in support of Palestine started up nearby. The solidarity with Palestine expressed here in South Korea and on the streets around the world is having something of an effect. The unconditional backing of Israel among its allies, in particular the U.S., is declining amid these resounding demands for a ceasefire. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Stricken by grief for innocent Palestinian lives that have been cut short. Dreams perished, generations wiped out in Israel's brutal bombing campaign in Gaza.
Thousands of kids are dying. Thousands. Innocent. There's an unborn child there, my friend. Unborn.
I think we're witnessing a genocide, personally, and there's nothing else that we can do but get out here and make our voices heard, because our government doesn't represent us on this.
They're killing innocents, children, women, everyone.
It's the fourth pro-Palestine mass demonstration in as many weeks, bringing together people of different religious backgrounds. Glenn Secker is the national secretary for the Jewish Voice for Labor in London.
What we think is happening is unbelievably atrocious. It's a gross violation of human rights, they're war crimes, and what's happening now actually is genocide.
For the fourth Saturday in a row, Britons here in the UK have taken to the streets to protest Israel's ongoing slaughter in Gaza. Here in London, they're calling not only for an immediate ceasefire, but also on the government to withdraw its support for the Israeli regime.
They also asked for the root causes of the decades-old conflict to be addressed.
And that is Israel's ongoing military occupation, imposition of apartheid, and our government's complicity in supporting that system of oppression. And that must end.
A protest was also supposed to take place outside the Israeli embassy, but was cancelled by police under the controversial public orders legislation.
Yeah, it's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. They'll protect the government that's committing horrific war crimes and not allow people to speak their minds. And no doubt the police will crack down in a brutal way if anything gets too big.
In other European cities, too, demonstrators got their voices heard, despite government restrictions. Organizers here say there are more marches planned for the coming weeks. Will the people in power heed the call that so many here are making for an end to the bloodshed. Saeed Puriza, London.
After nearly a month of bans on pro-Palestinian demonstrations around France, a march across Paris to denounce Israel's shocking atrocities in Gaza was finally permitted. Activists have endured mass arrests, a record number of fines, the usual French police brutality, and more, but many say it's nothing compared to what Gazans are being forced to endure.
Israel has to start respecting international law. They must stop these massacres and bombardments. Everyone in the world, including in Tel Aviv, must get out and demonstrate right now against this imperialism which victimizes everybody it touches.
Tens of thousands of people flooded the streets with intense anger at President Emmanuel Macron's seemingly unconditional support for Tel Aviv, despite the massacre of nearly 10,000 people, 70% of them women and children.
Israel and the West want to colonize and dominate the entire Arab world. But that time is over. Palestine's time for freedom is now. I blame the corrupt Arab puppets and collaborators, like in Morocco, Egypt, Jordan, and Bahrain. But let's not leave out our own president.
France has an extremely large Lebanese community, and many of them marched for what they said are obvious reasons.
I'm a Lebanese Christian, and we know that the Palestinian cause is also the cause of Lebanon as well. If Gaza falls, it's certain that Israel would come after us next, because that is the expansionist nature of Zionism.
4 years ago, Macron forced through a bill which attempted to equate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism, despite the obvious differences between the two. This week, a group of French senators introduced a bill which would make any anti-Zionism a felony crime, punishable by at least a year in jail. Macron has finally joined global calls for a truce and also announced that an international humanitarian conference will be held in Paris on November 9th to coordinate aid for the Palestinians. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
On Saturday, about 10,000 people flooded the streets of the Italian capital to stage a new rally against what they called a genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. The initiative, dubbed Italy Out of All Wars, was attended by political parties and unions, including Power to the People, Communist Refoundation, and USB. The rally, however, was also joined by high school students and families who called on the international community to put an end to Israel's bloodbath in the besieged Gaza Strip. Ralliers demanded accountability of the US, UK, and much of Europe for being, quote, wholly complicit in the horrific assault on the Palestinian civilians by Israeli forces. They condemned the media and those who hold a posture of selective morality on the ongoing massacre in the Gaza Strip.
People at the rally are also calling on Italy and the European Union to declare an arms embargo to Israel, with over 2 billion euros worth of military contracts guaranteed to Israel in the last 10 years. European countries are one of Tel Aviv's main suppliers of military systems and equipment, training only the US.
Numerous rallies have been held in support of the besieged Palestinians in different cities and towns across Italy since October 7. Despite the media's double standards on the Israeli carnage, a growing number of Italians are finally waking up to the reality of the horror that is taking place in the Gaza Strip. Max Civili, Rome.
In the Nigerian city of Kaduna, a conference was held on the ongoing situation in Gaza on Saturday. The speakers of the conference, organized by Al Mizan, a publication of the Islamic movement in Nigeria, said that as a result of Israel's manipulation tactics, some Western outlets either ignore the truth of the war on Gaza or distort the truth while reporting the Israeli genocidal war in Gaza. One of the speakers accused Western outlets of turning a blind eye to the various violations of international law and war crimes.
Israel has a lot of
issues which it is hiding. As such, she now put the information in a different way that will influence the conscience of people so that it will now have the chance to commit more crimes.
Various speakers at the seminar agreed that the root cause of the conflict in Gaza is the illegal Israeli occupation of Palestinian lands for over 70 years. So, the Hamas attack didn't happen in a vacuum, but it was the result of years of subjugation and oppression of Palestinians by the Israelis. They said the Israeli regime continuously spreads lies and propaganda about the origins of its existence and also highlight anti-Semitism to justify its war crimes. The participants at the seminar described journalists as the eye of the public and said they must report accurately and comprehensively during conflict and war situations. They called on international organizations and civil society groups to protect journalists who report the truth. Danjum Abdullahi, Kaduna.
At Sankofa, a black-owned bookstore less than 4 kilometers from the U.S.'s Congressional Center of Power. An historic lesson on political control and oppression learned beyond books.
We understand that this is all connected to colonialism. You know, here we are standing on stolen land right now on a settler colony called America, and our Palestinian brothers and sisters are struggling to defend their land from a settler, you know, colonial, Zionist state called Israel.
Because what's happening in Gaza right now is also an attack on Christianity. Let's be very, very clear.
Activist groups led by Black Americans spoke out against the deaths of thousands of people in Gaza, highlighting historic affiliations between Palestinians and members of the African diaspora, comparisons of a tormented history of colonial enslavement and brutality.
So we say free, free Palestine, long live Palestine, death to colonialism in any of its iterations.
Black writers and civil rights leaders possess a decades-old history of relating to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, comparing the resistance against Zionism to the black struggle for independence against colonialism and apartheid.
The Zionists have laid claim to the land, and their process of laying claim is to wipe out all of the indigenous population and claim everything for themselves rather than living in peace.
Activists assert that blacktivism, a black resistance repudiation of colonialism, has a legacy with Palestinians. Interwoven, the patterns of subjugation and exploitation under political tyranny.
This is the 15th year for the Black People's March on the White House to speak out against injustices. It has also formed affiliations with other groups to condemn colonialism, much of it against marginalized populations.
You're seeing the state of Israel, how it's working now to push the Palestinian people out and replace them. Look at what's happening in Washington, D.C. What you have in Palestine is nothing but armed gentrification.
These activists plan to march with Palestinian sympathizers in upcoming days while interrogating how to reach the elusive goal of equity and peace. Colin Campbell, Washington.
Outraged Syrians and Palestinians gathered in the Yarmouk refugee camp in Damascus to support the people of Gaza against the brutal atrocities committed by the Israeli regime.
We have gathered today in Yarmouk camp to send a message of solidarity to our resilient brothers and sisters in Gaza who are bravely paving the way back to Palestine with their blood. We assure them that they are not alone. The Arab peoples, the resistance front, and the free people of the world stand with you.
We will liberate every part of Palestine by God's will. We express our gratitude to Syria and Mr. Bashar al-Assad for supporting us and taking an honorable stance. We tell everyone that our people will not die by the grace of God.
Protesters voiced their anger towards Western powers that have been supporting Israel's war crimes, specifically the recent massacre in the Jabalia refugee camp. which violates all laws, norms and human ethics.
What happened in Jabalia and previous Israeli massacres provide clear evidence of regional and international collusion, but Gaza will not be left alone.
We say to Netanyahu and Joe Biden, come with all the strength and weapons you have, by land, sea and air. By God, we have prepared fighters who embrace martyrdom as fervently as you cling to life. Victory will be ours.
Demonstrators rejected the Israeli displacement projects and emphasized their absolute faith in Gaza's victory over injustice, pledging to defend Palestine and its nation's sanctities.
Cruelty, savagery and monstrosity are words that no longer suffice to describe the Israeli criminality. But Syrians completely recognize these crimes, and once again, they confirm their resolute support for Palestine and the resistance. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Hundreds of mud houses of Afghans were demolished in the capital, Islamabad. Afghan refugees lived here for years but now have been told to leave. Hawal Gul's home is one of the mud houses that was also demolished.
We moved to Pakistan during the Russian invasion of Afghanistan. I was born in Pakistan. Tell us what to do, where to go.
Pakistan has said the campaign targets those who don't have any legal documents. But many whose houses were razed to the ground claim they have a refugee status.
The deadline was for the people living here illegally. But people here all have refugee cards. Yet we were not spared. They just came and demolished our houses.
The United Nations and other international organizations have expressed concerns over Pakistan's refugee policy. The Afghan government has asked Pakistan to stop forced deportation of its nationals, but Islamabad defends its policy.
The decision is in exercise of Pakistan's sovereign domestic laws and compliant with applicable international law, norms and principles. It does not apply to individuals who enjoy refugee status who will continue to be generously hosted by Pakistan.
There are over 4 million Afghans living in Pakistan, but almost half of them undocumented. Islamabad says undocumented Afghans are involved in terrorism and other crimes.
Relationship between Afghanistan and Pakistan is already tense over Kabul's refusal to stop cross-border militant attacks. Many believe the crackdown against the undocumented Afghans will further complicate their bilateral ties. Kamran Yusuf, Islamabad.
As the Israeli regime presses ahead with its atrocities, Palestinians in the occupied West Bank have held a general strike to express their condemnation. The shutdown brought busy life to a standstill, but protests and demonstrations were already organized all across the main cities. In one of those rallies, protesters marched to the headquarters of the United Nations in Ramallah, demanding an immediate stop to the genocide and ethnic cleansing against the Palestinians in Gaza.
These non-stop massacres in Gaza and the latest committed against the Jabalia refugee camp are a failed attempt to weaken the Palestinian resistance and break people's steadfastness. Fighting is continuing and the resistance groups are causing severe losses to the Israeli forces. And our people in the West Bank are also fighting the Israeli military measures and brutality.
We have the same occupation and we are the same people. Geography does not, you know, divide people. We are just the same. We are all targets. Whenever you are a Palestinian, you are a terrorist, and you should be killed. People are killed for no reason and for nothing. So, you know, this is complete genocide. This is complete war crimes that should be stopped immediately, right now.
On the other hand, Israeli regime has escalated its military operations and incursions all over the occupied territories. 4 Palestinians were killed on Wednesday. 3 of them were martyred in Jenin during a military raid to the city and its refugee camp, and the 4th was killed in Tul Karim. The Israeli military has also used drones during this recent raid to Jenin. This assault has caused severe damage to a number of buildings and to the alleys. During the funeral procession of the martyrs, identified as fighters from Fatah's Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, mourners vowed to continue fighting and avenge the killing of Palestinians in Gaza and here in the West Bank. So far, 130 Palestinians have been killed by the Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank, and over 2,000 have been wounded. According to the Palestinian Prisoners Society, almost 1,800 Palestinians were detained during the daily raids. And for the third week, entrances to most Palestinian villages, towns, and cities have been blocked by military checkpoints, earth mounds, cement blocks, and iron gates, preventing movement between them amid an increased Israeli crackdown. Palestinians say the heavy crackdown is meant to prevent them from engaging in different forms of anti-Israel activities. With the escalation of Israel's aggression on Gaza, the regime's military has also been stepping up violence against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. Despite that, Palestinians in the West Bank say they would not back up from supporting their brothers and sisters in the Gaza Strip. Mona Qandil, Occupied Ramallah.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa Allah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
This is a part of a speech of Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, on the issue of Palestine. It's a duty upon us and any Muslim to refuse plans such as those of Sadat and Fahad. It is duty upon us to condemn such plans that do not benefit the poor. Today, one of the most dangerous affairs is the Camp David plan and the plan by Fahad, which strengthens Israel and its crimes. These plans create rifts and open the way for Israel. Now the revolutionary and brave Muslims of Palestine are shouting, inviting Muslims to uprising and unity with tremendous effort and divine clamor.
We seek refuge from Satan the cursed in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from iRib English Radio. This is Zainab Musavi, and what we do in this program is to listen to certain sentences and speeches of the late founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh. On the subject of Palestine and the Quds, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh said, "The issue of Palestine is a priority for the Islamic government." You know, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh was the first marja' taqlid, that is source of religious guidance, and the great religious leader to authorize the use of monies received for charitable disbursement to support Palestinian combatants when the Quds occupying regime perpetrated yet another crime in its long list of crimes and set fire to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, with complete foresight and in stark contrast to the policy adopted by others on the matter, which was to endeavor to have the mosque rebuilt, stressed the need to preserve the vestiges of Israel's crimes as a symbolic factor to incite and encourage the Muslims to rise up against the existence of the main reason for the crime, that is the occupying regime.
Ya Rabbana salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi
sallallahu alayhi
salli ala
He emphasize the importance of public knowledge and awareness in the Islamic world, stemming from the principles of belief and the Ummah's common faith and culture, and of avoiding sectarian differences. He called on the heads of the Muslim governments to accept this approach too, and believed that as long as the governments were of the same mind and the Muslim governments to accept this approach, that as long as the governments were of the same mind as their people and went along with Muslim public opinion and demand, they were to be